So let these be our opening words. We must use time creatively in the knowledge that time is always ripe to do right. Now is the time to make real the promise of democracy and transform our pending national elegy into a creative psalm of brotherhood and sisterhood. Now is the time to lift our national policy from the quicksand of racial injustice to the solid rock of human dignity. Let us take a moment now to center ourselves, to find ourselves in the midst of beloved community, and take some moments to consider, to contemplate some words for meditation and prayer, followed by a time of silence, followed by music and time for candle lighting, if you wish. My words again come from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Courage faces fear and thereby masters it. Cowardice represses fear and is thereby mastered by it. Courageous persons never lose the zest for living, even though their life situation is zestless. Cowardly persons, overwhelmed by the uncertainties of life, lose the will to live. We must constantly build dikes of courage to hold back the flood of fear. It's my honor to welcome to the pulpit today the members of the transition team who have worked so well for you and with me to enable this congregation to make the most of its time in transition. I'm delighted that they're here. They have worked long and hard, and their purpose today is to share with you their passion about the things that they have read from the handwriting on the wall. That is, the notes that you folks put up to indicate your thoughts about the timeline of this congregation a couple of months ago. So I'm delighted that they're here. The one who is not present is Nancy Benet. She was unable to be with us today, but don't worry, her contribution will be read as well.
Good morning. I'm Margaret Roberts. Some months ago, I worried that our church would become inactive and even lethargic during the two-year transition period between settled ministers. Fortunately, I had no reason for concern. We've remained a very busy and vibrant congregation. If you doubt me, I encourage you to check the bulletin boards in the hall adjacent to and across from the office. There you will see hundreds of photographs documenting many recent church activities. We've come together to worship, sing, celebrate, play, share ideas, cook, eat, feed and shelter the homeless, and conduct church business. The timeline exercise, which we underwent in October and November, confirmed what the photographs of our activities illustrate. We are a healthy and energetic congregation. Having read the comments posted by our church membership on the timeline, I believe that the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin is experiencing an upswing in attitude and outlook. Many church members expressed pride in First UU's long history of participating in works of social justice. One commenter reminded us that as early as the 1950s, this congregation made efforts to racially integrate Barton Springs. The First Unitarian Universalist Church is a longtime supporter of the local chapter of Amnesty International. Our social action outreach continues today with our SAC Lunch for the Homeless program, our regular assistance at the People's Community Clinic, and our participation in hands-on housing and freeze night sheltering programs. Did you know that 6 members of our church donate 3 hours every week to assist Austin's North Central caregivers? And were you aware that the choir performs at an annual concert each December for the benefit of North Central caregivers? In addition to addressing local social issues, our church is responsive to victims of world crises. We experienced this concern this morning, earlier during the service, as the collection was taken to help the people of Haiti. Many comments on the timeline expressed pride in our church community's ability and willingness to care for each other through the work of our Congregational Care Committee. The desire to help each other during times of personal difficulty was evidenced by the generous collections taken during our recent Christmas Eve services. A number of members expressed pride in the progress of our healing since our minister's departure 13 months ago. Almost immediately after Reverend Davidson Lohr's dismissal, groups were established within the church for people who wished to share their feelings with others. Outside experts were consulted and workshops scheduled to help us process our grief and to rebuild. Volunteers stepped forward and new leaders emerged to assure that our church life would continue. Most of us agree that we need to learn to disagree with more civility. We need to develop methods of arguing with respect. As Unitarian Universalists, we like to think of ourselves as enlightened and accepting of others who differ from us. We need to practice this acceptance with each other and strive to be open-minded and kind in our interactions with our fellow congregants. Despite the challenges we have faced during the past 13 months, our members still hold many hopes and dreams for our church. For example, we dream of the reestablishment of our warm, loving church environment where members interact with honesty, fair-mindedness, and respect, and where we collectively work to promote the interests of our posterity. We dream of creating a hospitable church community that welcomes newcomers and guests and celebrates diversity of ideas, faith, culture, and lifestyle. We hope for renewed commitment of church members expressed in terms of increased participation in church activities and increased financial pledges to assure support of our various programs, generous compensation for our staff, and payment of our fair share dues to the Unitarian Universalist Association. We dream of a super successful capital campaign so we can remodel and expand our existing building to meet our active congregation's needs now and in the future. We dream of having a greater impact on the local, national, and international community expressed through more educational outreach and more social action activities. And we look forward to calling an excellent new minister who fits our church and our local community and who welcomes a regular professional evaluation as an opportunity to communicate with the church membership. Some may find this list of hopes and dreams daunting, but I find it encouraging. Because so many of us have the courage to nurture hopes and dreams for our church, I feel confident that we have a future. In fact, I believe we have a strong future because I believe that this transition experience, as tough as it has been, will ultimately prove to strengthen the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. Thank you.
Necessary? Okay, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Sylvia Pope. Many of the contributions to the timeline that resonated most for me were those that spoke about our congregation's commitments to the environment. As embodiment of our belief in sustaining the interconnected web of which we are all a part, we have cultivated native plants on our campus, installed solar panels on our roof, changed to energy-efficient light bulbs, and sought to recycle our paper, bottles, and cans. These green steps may seem small, but they convey our commitment, care, and concern for our planet and each other. Here are some of the thoughts shared on the timeline. I am so proud of our church's environmental efforts, gardens, solar panels, etc. Another proud moment. Gardens, wildlife habitat designation, and proud of all who worked to make it so. Did you know that our landscaping has been certified a backyard wildlife habitat by the National Wildlife Federation? Thanks for the efforts of Dale and Pat Beulah, Barbara Denny, and many others who affectionately toiled to transform a humdrum landscape into something wild, beautiful, and beneficial to nature. The All Ages Playground. This is a welcoming, nurturing place for youth and adults. It's a native landscape showpiece that was conceptualized and brought to life by Elizabeth Gray, Earl Swisher, and many volunteers. If you haven't had the time to sit on one of the benches and enjoy the cool breezes on a sunny afternoon, I highly recommend it. In the hopes and dreams portion of the timeline, our environmental commitment was not mentioned directly, but I believe that it is a part of our collective desire to be a community of vibrancy, inclusion, and inspiration. A second theme mentioned in the proud section is the strength of our religious education program, also commonly referred to as RE. I share a strong interest in RE, and I believe that our collective support of this program and our children has kept us together at times when we felt like falling apart. Does any church have as dedicated and as enthusiastic a staff and volunteer corps as we do? I doubt it. Examples of their energy and creativity are the UU Summer Hogwarts School, a fun and unique week of community building for our children, co-hosting Young Religious Unitarian Universalists, a.k.a. YRUU, rallies, the Halloween Haunted Hallway, and the Christmas pageant. New members and visitors bring their children to our church because of the warm, welcoming atmosphere. On the timeline, the hopes and dreams regarding our RE program include a hope that the children's RE continues to grow and flourish with lots of outside activities, and for more interaction between RE and the rest of the church. I share these hopes and dreams for a strong RE program. As a YRUU advisor, I have witnessed the blossoming of individuals that finally felt that they were part of a warm and welcoming group. Our support of YRUU and Children's RE is an invitation to our youth to enjoy the freedom of individual expression and the warmth of community that we wish to share with the world. Thank you all for sharing your thoughts on the timeline.
My name is Wendy Kuo. I would like to talk a little bit about the pride so many of you have expressed on the timeline towards our music and religious education programs. When I first joined this church in 1997, recently graduated with a degree in piano, one of the first people I met was John Sanders. While we were chatting, a very tall woman approached us and excitedly introduced herself as Janet McGoey, the music director at that time. She, in turn, got me involved in the UU Musicians of Austin and introduced me to Brian, a wonderful pianist for the hymns and choir. Later that year, I had the pleasure of hearing Tim Woolsey, another fabulous pianist and member of this church, perform and became acquainted with the Edelman composer and church member, Ken Cannon. Add to this that the Austin Chamber Music Center, the Austin Chamber Soloists, and many other top-notch groups were using our sanctuary as their primary venue, and the result was pretty awe-inspiring. Another area that drew my interest and volunteer time was working with the children in the religious education program, which I will refer to as RE from here on. Ann Jacobson, our RE director at that time, would occasionally give sermons which were always very inspiring. We all miss her very much when she left, but it is an excellent example of how our church can be resilient that the RU program has returned to such vitality and strength. Many of you say things about the current RU program like, quote, I am proud of the way the RU program has remained as strong and positive through the turmoil. That's what got my family through this. In 1999, our choir director left to pursue a conducting career in New York, and we ended up hiring a young recent graduate of the UT Choral Conducting Program named Brent Baldwin, who, despite his tendency to wear hot red pants when he conducts, or perhaps because of it, has drawn more praises for his effect on our choir and the overall music program than virtually any subject on the timeline. Even though the transition was not easy at the beginning, but with Brent's perseverance, charm, and maybe the red pants, quickly brought the music program to new heights, which now serve to inspire us on a weekly basis. The addition of the children's choir last year under Kellen and Danielle has been another great source of joy. I will end with quotes about the music program taken from the timeline. I am proud when I watch the choir sing under Brent's brilliant direction and when I sang in the choir. I am so proud of the music program. We're so lucky to have Brent and Brian. I am proud of First UU Choir performing at St. Louis Church on December 4th for the benefit of North Central caregivers. I am proud when all the choir sings together, children and adults. Thank you.
I'm Sharon Moore. In your notes, you talked about two of my big passions regarding our church. One is the quality of the leadership of the senior staff, and one is the importance of small group ministry in our church. You said we should call no more one-trick ponies for minister, and that we have looked to ministers to make us whole, to save us. My experience in three UU churches tells me that our ministers generally come with one of three major talents. One is best at administration, strategizing, leading us through all the minutiae and the vital tasks that make a church run efficiently. Another minister is a great orator who leaves the management duties to the executive director and leaves the pastoral care to a second minister or congregational care team. This person's strongest talent is inspiring with words. The third type is a caregiver, a pastoral person who excels in people skills, loves to counsel, visit the sick, perform weddings and memorial services. All three types bring a different set of skills to keep the church strong. Almost never will one person have all three gifts in abundance. That would be the perfect person, and we are not perfect. With our new settled minister, we must pool all of our resources, dream our dreams, and work hard to make them a reality. Many of your notes dealt with wanting us to strengthen community here. You said, the covenant group started and are still part of our community. Yes. You said, in Evensong, I formed lasting relationships here. You talked of the positive impact that groups such as sharing suppers, men's breakfast, adult ed classes, paradox players, voyagers, circle of friends, couples club, and many, many more groups and activities have had on your lives. I believe small groups are the key to really getting to know one another. We all yearn for heart-to-heart contact, to be listened to, validated, and challenged to grow. We can't go it alone, and we don't have to. You will have several opportunities in the coming weeks to participate in group discussions, working on our church's core values, our covenant, our purpose, and mission statements that will all help get our church ready to sail on a wonderful new voyage with all of us buying in to where we're going and how best to get there.
Hello again. Nancy Benet can't be here this morning, so I'm going to read her contribution for her. We are a community. We are a network, a web of interconnectedness. What we do and don't do affects all around us. On the positive side, we are a safe haven where what we do is respected and encouraged. Our community has existed for over 50 years here in Austin. through good times and not so good times, just like a family. We've talked together, dreamed together, argued, laughed, joked, created, destroyed, and cried together. I'm sure you know that the seeds of our present not-so-good times were sown several years ago. We lost our way toward the principles we value most. Instead of growing into the workings of a large congregation, we continued doing what we had always done. Each step taken to break the old ways was difficult, and we are in for a few more difficult steps before we can reach out to a spiritual leader and ask him or her to join with us. We must step back and take an objective look at where we are and where we want to go, and then express in writing for everyone to see what it is that we collectively hold sacred. Many of you who posted sticky notes on the timeline were proud of this church. Many thought we could do better. Now is the time for you to actively influence the direction this congregation will take in the future. Tell us how we can heal and become the safe haven for spiritual growth translated into action in our community. There is and always has been a tremendous creative energy in this church. We can work together to encourage ourselves and others to become the best we can be. I look forward to working with you, all of you, in discovering what this church as a whole finds precious, and then sharing our uniqueness, our preciousness within our community, here and everywhere.
Howdy. My name is Jim, and I'm here today to talk to y'all, to ask you to talk to me. The comments that were posted on the timeline that stood out the most to me were of two types. One type asked for more transparency by our church board. The other type asked for us to be more friendly to visitors, to new members, and to people that we do not know. These messages tell me that the biggest challenge that our church faces is not enough communication. Y'all need to talk to each other. Y'all need to talk to me. The members of this congregation need to talk to each other, and not only to the friends that we know, but more importantly, talk to people that we do not know. Talk to me. Each of you must talk to our minister, Janet Newman. You must talk to the board members, and the board members must talk to you. And of course, the board must talk to the minister. And you all talk to the transition team. You all talk to me. I personally am going to seek out people that I do not know, to talk to them, and to listen to them. We must have dialogue, not just talking. But talking and listening, and you must listen more than you talk. Y'all listen to me. If we had been talking and listening to each other for the last 10 years, we would not be in the situation we are now. We would have fewer complaints about transparency, fewer complaints that we are unfriendly people. You all stop and talk. Stop to listen to each other. I'll listen to you. My name is Jim. Y'all talk to me.
Yes, we need to talk. I think that it's through conversation and dialogue that we gain understanding. Thank you, Jim. Thanks. The team. My name is Michael Kersey, and I too am a member of the transition team, and I want to share what I found meaningful in reviewing the timeline. In looking at the notes, I was reminded of a reading in our hymnal. It's number 420 by Annie Dillard. We are here to abet creation and to witness to it, to notice each other's beautiful face and complex nature so that creation need not play to an empty house. I think we all have beautiful faces. And in looking at the timeline, I think our complex nature is revealed. It has also been an exercise in history, and I've learned a few facts about the church. I now know that in 1954, we were acknowledged by the denomination as a church instead of a fellowship. In 1957, land for this present site was purchased through a bequest of Emily Wheelock Housen, after whom Housen Hall is named. In 1967, we added a religious education wing. And on January 31st, 1988, almost 22 years ago, we dedicated this new sanctuary. I wonder what the stories are around these events. How did people feel at the time? What were the discussions and arguments then? What motivated and sustained us? It also reminds me that we are capable of bold and great things. In looking at the timeline, I also saw patterns showing how we value this church as a place for spiritual questioning and community, transcendence and social action, and how we are disappointed when we miss opportunities or do not live up to our higher ideals. In the almost 19 years I have been attending this church, I have seen change and continuity. We have had 3 different settled ministers and 4 or 5 interim ministers. We've had 3 music directors and multiple religious education directors. Each of these persons has had their own style. Each of them has contributed different gifts to our community. Still, our church, service, and our programs have continued. We have adapted and evolved. We've always had an adventurous and wonderful adult choir. Now we also have a children's choir. We used to say a prayer from the Jewish tradition, the Kaddish, in which we marked the changing of the seasons and remembered in our hearts those dear to us no longer here. Now we go into silence and contemplation with the ringing of a bell. Even if today is your first day here, please know that our history has shaped the community we are today. Stick around and you will hear our stories. The lessons we draw from our past will also influence our future. We are in a period of transition in which we have the opportunity to honestly and openly reflect upon our history and our culture, and with self-awareness and learning, move into the future. There are several facets to our church's transition work. This timeline has been an exercise in coming to terms with our history. Through this and other ways, we want to acknowledge our hurts and disappointments and celebrate our strengths. We are exploring our culture and identity. We've had programs and seminars led by Peter Steinke and David Jones to help us better understand ourselves. My understanding is that our bookstore, which is in the gallery, will soon have one of Peter Steinke's books on family systems theory, which we can use for further exploration. Leadership. We are cultivating our leadership skills with the idea that many hands make light work. This past fall, the nominating committee sponsored 3 seminars on leadership, and the emphasis was not on top-down leadership, but rather how everyone has the potential for leadership in the right moment. And starting this coming Wednesday, January 20th, there will be the first of a series of 3 leadership classes based on a denominational curriculum, which looks very promising. Everyone is welcome to attend. In 2 weeks, we, the transition team, will begin hosting forums for further discussions about the development of a congregational covenant, a series of guidelines that explicitly states our expectations for behavior in this community. And in March, you have the opportunity to participate in dialogues about the vision and purpose of this church. It is a great process of self-discovery in which we are engaged. I have one more post-it note to share. It's the one I intended to post, but didn't. I share it here because I think it has bearing. I am proud that the philosopher Charles Hartshorne chose this denomination and was once a member of this church. I knew him as a frail but bright-eyed old man who sat in one of the front pews and who passed away in October 2000 at the age of 103. I've since done some reading about Charles Hartshorne and found him described as amongst the 20th century's foremost philosophers of theology. You can read about him in Wikipedia, or if there happens to be a volume devoted entirely to Charles Hartshorne in the Harvard Biographies of 20th Century Philosophers series. Hartshorne's work elaborated upon an idea called process theology, which holds that God cannot see the future and therefore changes in response to human actions. I find this a very powerful idea. The divine is not complete and is in an ongoing process of being made manifest. With that in mind, I believe that we are engaged in deeply spiritual work during this transition period, in that we, as a congregation, are in the process of awakening to what we can become. I look forward to our sharing this journey of discovery together.
And let these be our parting words today. Go forth in the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Help the afflicted. Love all beings. Serve the Most High, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia. Amen. Blessed be.